your exclusive home of the D-backs. Diamondbacks. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs manager Tori Lovello joins Burns and Gambo to talk D-backs baseball. Presented by NoBull.com. 10,000 vehicles, 23 dealers, 17 brands. NoBull.com, where Arizona buys cars.
We'd probably prefer to be talking about Italy in the World Cup, but since we didn't make it this time, we'll talk D-backs baseball. The skipper, Tori Lovello, joins us from Coors Field. Tori, Jordan Bird filling in for Burnsy. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you? Burnsy, yeah, does he still work there?
Man, I don't get it. I've been here for like 11 years. I've been doing this show overall for 21. I don't understand how a guy gets this much vacation time. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if he's got pictures of somebody, but this guy gets more vacation time than anybody I know.
He's got the system figured out. I don't know.
I know. We got to find out what he's doing to get this many days off. All right, let's talk about the bullpen first and where you guys are heading into this series. Robbie Ray only went 4 1/3. Zach only went 4 1/3. You had a 16-inning marathon on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So your bullpen is really taxed right now. You had the day off yesterday, which really helps. Is everybody mm-hmm. available? Or are you going to be very selective with how you use guys in this series?
No, it's a good point. Everybody will be available. That day off came at a perfect time. TJ might be a little sketchy because of the amount of pitches that he threw over a 2-day period. But, you're right. The bullpen has picked up a lot of innings between our two last starts, and the extra innings didn't help at all. So the guys did a great job. We tried to keep them as short as possible for today, knowing that if we needed to tax one person, that would be okay in TJ's case. But he will be available if needed, and that's what the guys do. They pick one another up. And on that, because we asked Zach Godley to start – I'm sorry, we asked Godley to come out and throw an inning on a side day. We decided to switch him and Ray. So Ray will be the last starter here in Colorado, and we're going to push back Zach, give him the full amount of rest between that outing and his next start, which will be Friday in Atlanta.
So he's going to be pushed back to Friday in Atlanta.
Correct, yeah. So we just flip-flop those guys. That way, with the day off, they're both going to get the normal day's rest. And to us, that was important. We asked Zach to go out there. He actually volunteered it. He said he wanted to keep going, but we had to be smart about things. You know, the human body, and when these guys go out there and perform, we got to be very cautious of what we're asking them to do in situations like that.
Talking with D-backs manager Tori Lovello here on the Burns and Gambo show, knowing the type of ramifications that it could and has trickled down to now having to rearrange your rotation a little bit, how hesitant mm-hmm. of a manager is it to put one of your starters in a relief appearance like you had to do over the weekend?
Yeah, it was, we were really at an uncomfortable point in the game, and everybody had done everything they could possibly do, and then some. And, it's something that some teams do every once in a while. It's not something we're going to continue to practice at all times. But, Zach did not throw his side that day, and he was going to have an extra day's rest, given yesterday's off day. So, as we walked through it, it was going to make a lot of sense for us to see what he could do. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We asked him to go out and play catch. That was checkpoint number one, where he said he felt great. He got off the mound. He threw, I think, 22, 23 warm-up pitches, said he felt great. And then once we got that, we all signed off on it, medical team, then Butch, and then myself. We all felt like he can go out there and give us a certain amount of pitches. And he crept up on that number. Had he thrown a 3 or 4 pitch, 5 pitch inning, we would have gone and ran him out there. But between 25 and 30 pitches was our comfort zone with him.
Yeah, I could tell him you were trying to win that game so badly, and that's got to be a very difficult game to manage. But your bullpen was remarkable. I mean, it really was. I mean, you got almost 12 innings out of your bullpen. They gave up 2 runs. One of them was Mathis mm-hmm. giving up the home run. So you take him out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the TJ McFarland, what can I thought Chafin was sensational when he came into the game with the runners on. I thought TJ was unreal. I mean, they gave you everything you could have asked. And I could tell, I mean, even bringing Godley into the game, you were trying to win that series. You didn't want to split with San Diego. You were desperately trying to win it. You just couldn't get that run across. I mean, you had some opportunities offensively, but you just couldn't get that run across.
You hit it right on the head. I'll tell you, we wanted to win the game. And you could tell by Jeff Mathis's face when he was out on the mound. I know that there's some newness to what was going on there, but he was looking to get outs and get us back in the dugout to potentially score a run. So That was the mindset of all of our guys. We wanted to win that game, and we were going to exhaust every opportunity to do so. And the next point that you made was that we had some great opportunities from an offensive standpoint to close it out. And at times I felt like guys were just maybe doing a little bit too much trying to be the hero rather than just taking what the pitcher was giving them and handing it off to the next guy. But that's the nature of the game. Everybody wants to have a moment where they can have the walk-off base hit. But we learned some valuable lessons through that. You know, we felt like we played a pretty good game, not a perfect game. And that's what we got to strive for every single night.
This is a pet peeve of mine, but this is baseball. I mean, this is today's baseball compared to, what me and you watched as kids. But you get a runner on second. When you guys get down after the Myers home run, you've got Jake Lamb up. Mm-hmm. I mean, traditional baseball in the old days, you move the runner over, you play to tie the game. Did you not? And Jake's not a bunter. He's a power guy. I know that. So it was it more of I'm going to definitely try to win the game rather than tie it because I've got a catcher out there on the mound?
Bingo. That was the mindset. Had we had a full bullpen and good arms coming out of the bullpen, we were going to I would have bunted. I would have asked Jake to find a way to bunt. And Jake, tried to base hit bunt earlier in the game, so you know that he knows the technique and the idea. But I don't ask of certain guys in our lineup to bunt, and Jake is certainly one of them. But had we had a different set of circumstances and not had a catcher on the mound, I would have gone for a tie game. I was looking. I didn't want to give up an out. I wanted Jake to clip him for a 2-run home run and be the hero and call it a great series.
D-backs take on the Rockies, begin a series in Denver tonight. That game is on 620 ESPN AM. You've, over the last week or so, really ever since Dyson has been out with the injury, your outfield combinations, rotations have been different almost on a game-by-game basis. Is that something that is going to continue, or are you just waiting and trying to find the right mix of the three individuals, and that's, for the most part, who you'll roll with?
No, it's a little bit challenging for me, and it's gonna take some creative planning on my part. But it's not the mixture of three that I'm looking for to run away with the job. I feel like it's gonna be a 4-man rotation out there, and that's gonna give everybody who there's four really good outfielders. CEO is now gonna be juggled between the infield and the outfield. So the four that I'm talking about are minus CEO. We feel like we have four really, really good outfielders. So nobody's going to sit on the bench and ride the bench. I'm obviously going to stay with a hot hand. If somebody's hot, I'm not going to sit them down. But that's just where we're at right now. And these guys have been so great. They've all understood where we're at, and they know that it's going to be a situation where they're all going to get some playing time. And that fits into our scheme and our plan here. We want to give guys rest, and I think baseball is trending towards that. So at the end of August, when we got to go out and win some baseball games, we're going to be able to put the nine best out there. They're going to help us win on that particular night.
You know, one of the guys who's struggled all season and hasn't been able to break out of it is Chris Owings. He's always been more of an offensive, shortstop than even a defensive. He's a good ball player, but the struggles this year, and you've had to use him as a pinch hitter several times. And he's really been stuck in a season long slump. What are you noticing out of him offensively?
Well, he has been in a little bit of a grind right now, and this game's hard. It's tough, and when you get to a certain point and you're not getting the results that you want or the results that you have had in the past and what your expectations are, they're not being met, you tend to press. And once you get into the pressing stage of performance, you at times you're gonna do okay, but it's not going to be who you really naturally are. He's got over 200 at-bats, and he's played a lot, and it just hasn't worked for him. And we ask a lot of CEO. We ask a lot of him to be that Ben Zobrist type of player to bounce all over the field. And sometimes that can be challenging. But the best part about him is that he's been a tremendous teammate. Every time I call him into the office and talk over a role change or a situation that we're gonna continue to walk him into, he always says, "Whatever you want me to do, I'm here for this team, and I want to be a good team player to help us win games." So. That's a compliment to him, and I'm just always pulling for him to have those great results because it is a very tough job that we ask him to do.
All right, leave me with this two-parter here. You've got Clay Buchholz working his way to come back. When do you expect him back? And with that being said, how important is the Shelby Miller start tomorrow in Coors Field?
Well, I think your start is important for all of our guys for an assortment of reasons. But Clay threw his bullpen today, so I just got that information. Threw his bullpen out at Salt River. I didn't get the exact pitches or the exact breakdown, but I heard that he came off the mound and felt great off the bullpen mound and felt great. and he'll throw a sim game on Friday, and we'll determine the numbers on that. But if he comes out of it tomorrow and feels good, he'll throw a sim game. Our plans are set to throw that on Friday. So that'll be the next step. But for right now, I feel like, you know, everybody wants to throw the ball well. We're heading into the All-Star break. We want to finish strong. We want to make a good push coming into the break and coming out of the break. I think teams that do that are the ones that play in the postseason. So we want to continue to play that type of baseball. So is it important for Shelby? Yes, but it's important for every one of our starters.
All right, Skip, we appreciate it. You guys have had Colorado's number 5 out of 6 this year. Hopefully you keep it up, get a good game tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Torey Lovello, the skipper for the Arizona Diamondbacks, giving you the breakdown on the pitching.